This is Mae Brussel. It's the second half of broadcast number 745, March the 17th, 1986. I hope you tape this and we take this 1 minute break so you can turn your tape over and start taping the other side and keep a record of it. So I'll number the second half. I usually do. The Washington Post had a story February the 10th, 1985. That I had on the air a while back, but I want to repeat it now because of recent developments. Bernard Goetz had a super secret astro security clearance from the federal government. Channel 4 News reported, WNBC in New York City. The clearance granted to the subway vigilante 2 years ago gives him access to classified weapons information. Sources say Goetz worked as a contract employee for government intelligence agencies. He performed sophisticated electronic calibrations involved in nuclear weapon, which could also target or cause something to explode, a remote control, I imagine. Goetz is regarded as an expert in highly specialized field. It was not immediately known exactly what projects he worked on. The CIA and Defense Department declined to comment. To obtain an astro clearance, Goetz had to be thoroughly investigated by intelligence agencies. Goetz's clearance gives him access to secret technical data relating to some of the deadliest weapons known to civilization, and I'm sure that would include plutonium in that little green box that is missing from the Challenger explosion. The National Enquirer had a story about Goetz. This goes back a couple of years also, but it's very important to remember the National Enquirer, if you don't like their source, was the newspaper that interviewed Kathy Smith, who said she killed John Belushi, and just last week they decided, yes, she has to stand trial. The LAPD kicked her out of town and told her to get to Canada. They didn't want to bother with the case. It was too hot, of course, but she gave it to the National Enquirer. Why always remains interesting, but she did. And they also carried a story with an interview of Bernard Goetz, subway vigilante, his own incredible story. "Don't call me a hero. I'm just a proud American," he said. "Americans have to do what too many of us have forgotten how to do. Stand up and say no to the sewer rats of society who are pushing us around." I thought the word sewer rat was interesting because that was the classification for Zyklon B that was made by Otto Ambrose of IG Farben. Ambrose came to this country through Project Paperclip, and the rat extermination chemical was the one put into the ceilings at Auschwitz for mass extermination. It made it very convenient, and they didn't have to pull so many bullets and so much mess of shooting people. And the Zyklon B was for rat extermination, and he has access to the deadliest of weapons, and he refers to the sewer rats of society. The Washington Times, run by Reverend Moon, had an article September the 4th, 1985, about Bernard Goetz, how liberals react to crime, and it refers to Bernard Goetz and the shooting in New York City, and how he went up to New Hampshire and turned himself in and had mass media appeal, and how Mr. Morgenthau, the district attorney in New York City, didn't indict him, let him off. He was running for elections. But I wonder if Bernard Goetz was too important. And then the article goes on about some other muggings and shootings that took place in New York City, and how come people are not more strict about the crime that's going on in New York City. The attention Mr. Goetz got, and he got off, is one thing, but what are the liberals going to do while people are mugged? And it's about the liberal mentality allowing these things to happen, and the liberals let Mr. Goetz off, but he certainly isn't a liberal. Several months ago, I referred to a man who got the death sentence for giving murder by cancer, but it might be pertinent again to this story of poisons also. From Omaha, Nebraska, November 8, 1979, Stephen Roy Harper was the first person given the death sentence because of giving murder by cancer. It was a first-degree murder on two persons with a cancer-causing rocket fuel additive. And I thought, considering the rocket problems and the space program and the dangers incurred here, that Bernard Goetz could also have access to these. And the article goes on, two people died within a week after consuming lemonade and milk from a 2-quart container in their home that was contaminated with dimethyl nitrosamine, an anti-corrosive rocket fuel additive known to cause cancer in the laboratory rats, and of course Goetz referred to those rats. And Harper stole the lethal substance from the Epley Institute for Cancer Research, where he worked as a lab assistant. So Mr. Goetz was involved with Star Wars, with also with the nuclear program. Another article referred to his Star Wars context and his his clearance there. And then he goes to Concord, New Hampshire, and he visits a man who is very political, and Time Magazine cites his visit there at the bookstore with a man who turns out to be a very far right person with links to Liberty Lobby and the Washington Times, that Mr. Thomas Stotler. And Goetz, having come from Germany, former German immigrants again to this country, and he is part of the guidance system and nuclear missiles and systems that could affect nuclear missiles. And Mr. Stotler, his friend, has an organization as part of Freedoms Through Strength that defends the atomic bombs and mass murders of Hiroshima. And the story about the plutonium on the next two shuttles is referred to as a possible Hiroshima activity. And that could bring us into a total police state. And Freedom Through Strength has links, as I say, to Liberty Lobby and Jerry Falwell and the very far right, who are pushing the Star Wars and the problems that would affect all of us, that should not be in the hands of those crazies. Now, the New York Times had an article on the 27th of July, 1985. New York is seeking the source of plutonium because there were threats about the plutonium being put in the water. The testing process is prolonged because the equipment used by the Environmental Measurement Laboratory of the Energy Department can test only two samples at one time. It takes 3 to 6 weeks. New York City is trying to narrow down the levels of plutonium that are in their water, and they're getting anonymous letters. They got one April the 1st that they kept secret until July, when plutonium was noticed in the New York City waters, that there was a threat to contaminate the water system unless all charges were dropped against Bernard Goetz, who had been indicted in March on charges of shooting four on the Manhattan subway. Another article, August the 14th, 1985, traces of plutonium in New York City called in the water called normal so far. And I repeat, he had top security clearance with nuclear missiles. And after shooting those four blacks in New York City, he became a subject of hero to the Aryan Nations up in Idaho. Now, Richard Butler of Aryan Nations worked for Lockheed on the U-2 program, and Lockheed was in charge of the security of the Challenger that went down, or the two next ones that would go up with the plutonium on them. His name became associated with the Aryan Nations, and after May 1st, when there were threats that they were going to put plutonium into the water in New York City and turn this country into Vietnam, these letters were mailed to Mayor Koch in April, and then they were revealed, as I say, because of levels of plutonium which they tested. So it's interesting that the links of Mr. Stotler to Freedom Through Strength, is that organization, that right-wing group, and why would Bernard Goetz just happen to go up to Warner, New Hampshire, and stumble into that bookstore to see this particular gentleman who has the bookstore? It's just not an ordinary place that you go into. Now, the March 1st newspapers, San Francisco Chronicle this week, have an article, prosecutors pressing the Goetz case. We'll see what happens if there's plutonium in New York, or what is going on and how much it will affect that trial or the people living in New York City. February the 9th, 1986, Morgenthau, in appeal, asserts the judge erred in the Goetz ruling, and they're going to go on with the trial of Mr. Goetz. And there's a quotation in the New York Times: "You seem to be all right. Here's another," Mr. Goetz said. He told the youth after he shot him. He looked at him and thought he looked too well. "I'll give you another one. If I had more bullets, I would have shot him again and again." Mr. Morgenthau called the cabbie shooting legally inexcusable and a deliberate act of revenge or retribution, not an act supported by belief. But if the act is supported by belief, if he has any links to Mr. Stotler, it is not a retribution of any kind, but it is a belief that the sewer rats and the people on the streets have to be eliminated, as well as the Hiroshima can eliminate large masses of population. Now, just as a coincidental article, on January 28th in the Washington Post, there was a story about a man, a journalist named Bob Holler, 34 years old, a reporter and columnist for Concord Monitor, in Concord, New Hampshire, the hometown of Krista McAuliffe. He said he's come to think of McAuliffe as a second wife. For 7 months, he's followed her, the social studies teacher. He's followed her journey from obscurity to national celebrity. Sunday night, he slept little. This was the big day. It was potentially important. He said, we had some potentially important primaries in Concord that week. We also had a visit from Bernie Goetz, New York subway vigilante, not long ago. But basically for Concord, this is a story of a decade, not a century. So I'm wondering, in 1986, he says Bernard Goetz was up there not long ago, whether it's a figure of speech, just going back to the shooting a year and a half ago, or whether he means he was just there in the last few weeks to visit Mr. Stotler. That would be really interesting to know. And again, not coincidentally, but the Washington Times is a great big sounding board for things that have happened or will happen. The Houston Post and the Washington Times are great for that. And February 17th, 1986 is a full-page article, I mean a huge one, with a picture of the new head of the Federal Emergency Management Service, General Julius Becton, B-E-C-T-O-N, the director of FEMA. He's not talking about the past problems. He's going on now to take care and charge of the Federal Emergency Management. And that, if the plutonium were to come out, if one of the shuttles were to go down, and they knew it was a near explosion, it was a matter of time, and if they had the plutonium on it, then what would be the next step of the federal government? So there's a description of Lieutenant General Julius W. Becton, Jr. from the United States Army, who's now in charge of our civil defense, and enlisted during World War II in the Pacific Theater. He fought in the Korean War. He was a company commander, twice wounded by the Red Chinese, I guess like John Birch, and must have a vengeance for that kind of a bullet and shrapnel. He went from Vietnam to Fort Hood, Texas, to Stuttgart, Germany. And goodness knows how long he was in Germany. I wonder whether he worked with the Kriegsacademie in Germany. If it's currently running, I'm sure it is, like our West Point at this time. He has a son at George Washington University studying international affairs, who just graduated from Valley Forge Military Academy as a first captain, and a daughter who's a lieutenant engineer in the Air Force. And he tells about working and studying disaster, from food relief in Ethiopia to the Mexican earthquake and so forth. And he refuses to talk about Louis Gufurida, who was removed because of controversy with FEMA. But he is there in case there are problems of emergency and attacks. He said, we're prepared for all aspects of a nuclear attack except for radiation. It's interesting that he put that in just the same week that they're talking about radiation and the probability that if the Challenger's successing flights, if that hadn't gone down, the successors were filled with radiation, and the same statistics of the chances of going down were there and would have hit that one, we would have had the radiation. This is February the 17th, 1986. We're ready for everything but radiation. I believe that they're ready for radiation also. Now, the remaining time of this time, I want to just briefly run into some elements I wanted to do a whole hour, 2 hours on. Of course, time does slip away. And it has to do with advanced genetic sciences in California and update you on the testing. I want to do a biography of the new appointment of the head of the Agricultural Department, a very controversial person, Mr. Ling, L-Y-N-G, who worked for Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. He worked for a lot of controversial people, Richard Ling. The Washington Post has a story February 15th. I'll do more on his background later. Also, the second person in the Agricultural Department, Deputy Agricultural Secretary, John Norton III, was kicked out rapidly this past month, February the 20th, to replace him with somebody from Kansas City. They didn't want him in. They wanted someone from Kansas City. And there are offices of Roman Haas and Advanced Genetic Sciences in Kansas City. If you have not listened to the past broadcast on Advanced Genetic Sciences, it's a corporation headquartered in Oakland, which is funded from Europe and from the East, Eastern corporations, that wants to put into Monterey County the first altered live genetic bacteria into the produce in this county and release it in Monterey County, and what happened in the past weeks is that they admitted that they already have used some of it. March 15th, 1986, the Monterey Herald had a story, bacteria testing alleged that they already went ahead and put this genetically altered strain of bacteria into a Castroville area, and I'll do details of this again. I'll get back to it later. The company, Advanced Genetic Sciences, apologized March the 5th, LA Times. We should have reported the bacteria test. We went ahead and said, did it, even though you weren't giving us the go-ahead to do it. Washington Post had a story March 5th. Gene engineer concedes real lack of wisdom. The microbe was tested months before the U.S. approval. I'm rushing through those real fast just to put for the remainder of the program an article that you can copy from the New York Times or send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send it to you. Dated March the 6th, genetic concern on the spot. This is the way it begins. Befitting an impoverished state, Advanced Genetic Scientist occupies a one floor of a threadbare building in a non-glamorous part of Oakland. There are bullet holes in the windows of the lobby. Now, if I have time, I'll list the board of directors again and where they come from. This is a dummy front that's known as a doorknob operation. What they call an impoverished state is a multi-billion dollar project that uses a dummy front in case anything goes wrong. The article goes on this roof, the company scientists performed experiments that catapulted in a slew of problems with the government. Some fear will result in more delays for all genetic engineering companies. Last November, AGS got permission to conduct their first release in the environment of an organism altered by genetic engineering. The company planned to spray a strawberry patch in Monterey County, California, with bacteria that inhabits the plants, but it's genetically altered by them. Last week, it came to light that the company violated federal guidelines by conducting tests with the bacteria in open air in Oakland, and they also have done it, it seems, in Castroville, closer to my home area. To test whether the bacteria would harm the plants, they injected fruit trees with modified bacteria, posing a risk that they could escape into the environment. The disclosure prompted the Federal Environmental Protection Agency to open the investigation. On Tuesday, the company was called to Congress, where Representative Harold L. Volkmer, V-O-L-K-M-E-R, Volkmer, chairman of the House Sciences and Technology Committee investigating the subcommittee, raised questions about the validity of the company's scientific tests. The Missouri Democrat said in an interview today that the company seemed to be in a big hurry to get its tests done. Now, to be in a big hurry was the story about why the shuttle was launched. They seemed to be in a hurry. That is a good cover story, and they have a dummy front office in Oakland. Besides sullying the company's reputation, the incident has given new fuel to critics of such testing who are concerned that such work could have unintended environmental effects. It has raised fears among other biotechnology companies. A backlash will result in more delays and regulations for everyone. It sure isn't going to help us, said Ronald E. Capay, chairman of the Cetus Corporation. Cetus is part owner of AgriCetus, one of the companies wanting to do outdoor testing of genetically engineered plants. At the House hearing, in interviews this week, AGS said the company's scientific work was valid. They were convinced the bacteria is harmless, and injecting them inside a tree would pose little risk. Nevertheless, the company, after first saying it had not violated guidelines, said it realizes it should have gotten Environmental Protection Agency approval on the roof test. It appears the company seriously underestimated the possible public reaction to its work and the seriousness of strict adherence to guidelines. Like many a young company, and this is the other lie, a third lie, one is that it's in a hurry, one that it's a small, poor group, and the other is that it's a young company. These are the most sophisticated people from Harvard, Princeton, Roman Haas, IG Farben, and the Max Planck Institute in Germany, and scientists from Europe. They referred to it as a young company where they hung up their shingles 1969 to get ready for this project. They've worked on it a long time. Like a young company in high technology, it seems to have progressed in its scientific accomplishments without commensurate growth in other facets necessary for a well-rounded business. Well, that's like just manufacturing Zyklon B and nothing else. If you have one gas that you control the entire world, you don't have to have two or three other businesses. It says the country estimated the difficulty involved because of their lack of experience, said Thomas Diot, former president who went of AGS, who now has gone back to Roman Haas, which is the multi-billion dollar parent corporation. They didn't do the PR necessary to be able to perform the experiment, said Noel Masterson, president of Science Future. The PR is what Reagan uses to sell the Contras. The PR is what you use to sell the Marcos in the Philippines. The PR sells Iran. The PR sells you Somoza. The PR means that you hard sell people over and over in the media, and then you get through what you want. The trouble was not that it wouldn't be safe, but the PR is what they need. So they've hired a new PR agency to help them with the project. Advanced Sciences, Genetic Sciences, was founded in 1969 by Daniel D. Adams, a venture capitalist from Greenwich, Connecticut. That's the man from the offices of Sullivan Cromwell, the law firm of Allen Dulles and John Foster Dulles, and I've cited the record of genocide and the use of those agencies to protect the people that did genocide in Europe and then were brought to this country under Project Paperclip. He was instrumental in founding Biogen, another biotechnology concern. Mr. Adams ran Advanced Genetic Sciences from Connecticut, and even through the company's operation, even though they were in Oakland, Kansas, and in Europe, in June, Mr. Adams stepped down as chief executive, and now Chairman Joseph Boukaert has come in, Boukaert, a Belgian who's head of the Plant Genetic Systems, a Belgian company of which AGS owns one-third. To run both companies, he commutes between Belgium and Oakland. This is this little run-down shanty office in Oakland, okay? And there's no frost in Belgium, only in Monterey County. And Mr. Diot has left AGS and gone back to Roman Haas, where he went from Princeton to Roman Haas, still working with the company. And it goes into their losses of millions of dollars, but they're banking on this particular operation. The company has been dependent on investments in and on research contracts, but according to analysis, analysts who no longer follow the company, it is undercapitalized. In total, Advanced Genetic has raised $24 million from Roman Haas, that's that multi-billion corporation with Defense Department contracts, and Hillshog AB, a Swedish company, which owns 16%, and also the Belgian company. Incidentally, Roman Haas has one of their branches is in Huntsville, Alabama, the very location where the NASA scientists ordered those in Utah to rethink their decisions and go ahead and force this launch. Mr. Boukaert, who was trained in business and in law, spent a career organizing technological research in Belgium universities and the Belgium government. He will settle permanently in California, which means we won't be able to stop this. You know that. He said that earlier this week the company has set up a committee to monitor adherence to guidelines and hiring a public relations firm, Book and Company, B-O-O-K-E and Company. Last year, AGS got a desperate need, cash infusion of $4 million from another Swedish company, Karashams, I can't pronounce the last word. It is trying to win research contracts from larger companies, already has agreements with Roman Haas, DuPont, Standard Oil, formerly known as Standard Oil of Ohio. So you have the Chase Manhattan, the IG Farben, the Allen Dulles, the John Foster Dulles, the Sullivan Cromwell, the genocide team out of America and Nazi Germany that set up the CIA, the Project Paperclip, the same people that were not bashful about exterminating before and have those same goals in mind. And these corporations have been linked to genocide, and now they want the cash infusion, which I knew all along would come together. If you read American Swastika or Trading with the Enemy, Charles Heim has documented the role of DuPont, and Roman Haas has been in many books, the relationship to IG Farben and Standard Oil, working with Nazi Germany before the war, after the war. But now they want to bring that money and that agency into Monterey County, nowhere else on planet Earth but Monterey County. And Mr. Boukaert goes between here and Belgium. By 1988, we should be in a break-even situation. By 1988, this is 1986. In two more years, they will have money from Roman Haas, DuPont, and Standard Oil, And the head attorney who set this up was from Sullivan and Cromwell. The chief executive is from Belgium. Money comes from Switzerland, and there are a large group of Nazis in Switzerland. There are plenty in Switzerland, too. I'm talking about Sweden. If you read Operation Sunrise and another Mr. Kramer, I don't know if he's related to Fritz Kramer or not, but there is a large nucleus of Nazis in Sweden that has never been smoked out, even though they've had Olof Palme as the head of the Prime Minister of Sweden all these years. So in comes this money. We will have this infusion. We will have a public relations firm. By 1988, we will break even, which means they will have made up the 20 to 25 million they put in it so far. The company's first product is called Snowmax, the flip side of Frostban. Instead of altering bacteria to retard frost formation, Advanced Genetic is killing the bacteria and selling the dead microbes as a yellowish powder to promote frost formation. Snowmax is bought by ski resorts to speed snowmaking. The product also could be used to help freeze foods more quickly and to build islands for oil drilling in the Arctic, the company says. The North Arctic Company, where Mr. Lehman says that we will proceed with World War III out of that Arctic. You will put your islands over there, build islands for oil drilling out of the ice, or down at Antarctica for bases. This has to be a much, much larger operation, which I said the day I heard about the operation. The article goes on, because the bacteria are not genetically altered, there's no problem with putting it into the snow areas now, but the company hopes that Frostban will be their next product after their the Snowmax. And the Environmental Protection Agency investigation, due to end March 24th, that's just a week from today, leads to a decision that allows the company to go ahead with its tests. After that, the company is looking at genetically altering soil-dwelling bacteria to help plants fend off the pests. Now, the pests are a very important part of our environment. So you have 1 week from the time you hear this, or maybe a few days, to call or write the Environmental Protection Agency and ask them if IG Farben and Nazi Germany and these companies that worked with Adolf Hitler are moving into Monterey County and can only be here because of the Mexican farm workers and the lack of necessity for them in the area, or if they work, similar to Puniment or Dora, after they work 4 or 5 years from now, being exposed to this kind of bacteria, they die, and then you bring in new strong ones to do the work, and working in the field can pick up diseases if their immune system is weak, and weed out the weak and keep the strongest, just as we did when we imported slaves from Africa. Now, I've cited before on the air, I believe I have, the directory, the corporate directory out of AGS, and I put in detail some of the members of the board. Mr. Bogorod, the chairman of the Compensation Committee, Robert Naylor, and their links to Harvard, to the Roman Haas, to DuPont, and the very questionable organizations that have cited this area, earmarked it, and have the funds and the PR now to get what they want. They started to sneak it in, and they actually did spray here in Castroville, and they're apologizing, and they sprayed in Oakland, and they're apologizing for that. Now, one of the workers that works for AGS was quoted in the San Jose Mercury this past week. A technician for the biotechnology that illegally tested a genetically altered microbe told a House committee he worked and worried about the safety of the experiments. This is similar to the shuttle program. He's worried about the safety. At a hearing Tuesday in Washington of the House Science Technology Subcommittee on Oversight, an unidentified technician charged that his former employee, Advanced Genetic Sciences, pressured him to take shortcuts during the firm's illegal open-air testing in February of 1985. Imagine they were told to stop down here. They were doing it in Berkeley in February 85. The company failed to notify the EPA of the outdoor test. John Bedrock, AGS Scientist, Vice President, Research Director, said no canker was detected on trees injected with a microbe designed to halt frost development. But the former technician said in a document released by the panel that canker was found, C-A-N-K-E-R. He said the company fired him for saying that. The experiment, under scrutiny, preceded by 10 months, the EPA's approval of AGS proposal to spray in the Monterey County. Disclosure of the Oakland test increased criticism by Monterey County supervisors and residents, and they also cited in Castroville, an area where they probably have sprayed already. The Monterey County test had been delayed by the supervisors who blocked it temporarily. The EPA official Stephen Sucho testified Tuesday that a diseased area on the injected tree would certainly raise concerns about those cankers. They testified the tests on the roof had no hazard to anybody, no results that were hazardous, and no canker, but this employee said that he began to feel uneasy about not following standard procedures for the test, that he was under continuous pressure to use low levels of inoculated material, and he got so much flack he left them, and he said there was danger involved. Well, I've given you a lot of information for this hour. Now it's up to you to think about and assimilate it because our time is up. And I'll continue along these lines of NASA and AGS and the new appointee of Reagan for the environment when I come back with you next week.